This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Rabbi Michael Lerner doesn't mince words about the way he sees the world going. The political and religious right, he says, have made an unholy alliance and are bulldozing American society toward a world militaristic, selfish, and authoritarian, worshiping a big daddy God and a big daddy government. Lerner wants the left to push back, but it never will effectively, he says, until Democrats act on what Republicans well know, that Americans have a deep spiritual hunger. Lerner wants that hunger filled with a God and politics of peace and kindness and love. If that sounds sappy, he says, then it's time to want it more. Up next on Point, the left hand of God with Rabbi Michael Lerner. We will hear later in this hour from Gary Cass, executive director of the Center for Reclaiming America for Christ, and from Maryland Congressman Democrat Elijah Cummings. But first, joining me from New York is Rabbi Michael Lerner, editor of the bimonthly Jewish magazine Tikkun. He is founder and co-chair with Cornel West of the Tikkun Community, an interfaith organization. He's author of Spirit Matters, Global Healing, and the Wisdom of the Soul. His new book is The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Welcome, Rabbi Lerner.
Hi. I'm so glad to be with you.
It's great to have you. You've got a lot of stuff on the table here. Hope you'll start to take us into it. Spiritual crisis, unholy alliance, Democrats, and the left hand of God. What's the spiritual crisis you're pointing to, Rabbi?
I was involved in analyzing and interviewing over 10,000 middle-income working people, myself and my colleagues, who were people who had been previously Democratic Party voters and who began to move to the right in the 1980s, and we've followed them over the course of the last 25 years. And what we discovered is that many of those people moving to the right were moving to the right because of a spiritual crisis in their lives. They understood that the Democrats actually spoke to their economic needs more than the Republicans. But one of the amazing things that we discovered, and that I detail in this book, The Left Hand of God, is that economic issues were not, for them, the ultimate bottom line, that they were just as concerned about the spiritual crisis in their life. Now, that spiritual crisis was rooted in the ethos of materialism and selfishness that surrounds people and that is rooted, actually, in the world of work and in the way our economic system functions. Because all day long, most people are in a world of work in which, number one, they are learning that there is an old bottom line that says that their value is how much they can maximize money or power for some other. And secondly, they learn to see other human beings instrumentally as primarily valuable to the extent that these others can help me advance my own cause. That way of thinking leads to a looking out for number one consciousness that is brought home into personal life. And most people's complaint in personal life is they're surrounded by people who seem to only care about themselves, who've learned to be maximizers of self-interest, and that's the common sense of the society, the real world. And so people come home from work, on the one hand, filled with this sense that this is the real world and there's nothing they can do to change it. In fact, wanting to teach their kids how to survive in that real world so that they'll be successful. But on the other hand, hating it, feeling like they can't stand having wasted their life in a work situation which has no higher meaning for them, doesn't connect to anything that they really believe in. And so they feel both that it's impossible to change the world on the one hand, and on the other hand, that they can't stand it. And this creates a huge spiritual crisis.
And into that void, that need, you say, has marched the Republican Party arm in arm with right-leaning religion, fundamentalist religion. You're pretty tough on it. You say we have to respect our fellow Americans, whatever their faith and outlook, but you call this an unholy alliance. Why?
Well, because the religious right, first of all, deserves a great deal of credit because it was able to articulate that there is a spiritual crisis. But unfortunately, what it has done is to take that spiritual crisis, recognize that there's materialism and selfishness, but then blame it on what it calls the special interest, namely our society would be fine except for these special groups that are seeking their own interest at the expense of the common good. And who are those special interests? Well, this is a universal formula for the right all over the world. Wherever they are, they pick the demeaned others of the society. So in Europe, the demeaned others were the Jews. We were the ones who were supposedly introducing selfishness and materialism. In the United States, the traditional demeaned others have been Native Americans and African Americans. But in the last 20 years, that has shifted a lot. And so now the major focus is also, because the right is sort of expansive in who it blames, is also gays and lesbians, feminists, liberals, secular people, and today also supposedly activist judges. So all of these forces are blamed, but meanwhile, the right is the primary champion of the ethos of selfishness and materialism in the world of work, because when it comes to the economy, the right totally resists any attempt to introduce social responsibility for corporations to restrain their selfishness. And what it says is that the best good for all will be achieved if we just let the corporations go on their way to maximize money and power. Now, here they are championing the ethos of selfishness and materialism in the world of work, then championing the pain that people inevitably have when they bring home the ethos of work into their daily lives. How do they get away with this? And the answer is they get away with it because the Democratic Party and the liberal and progressive forces, by and large, not exclusively, but by and large, don't have a clue about the spiritual crisis in the society. And they've given the whole issue of spirituality over to the right.
So you're saying to the Democrats, you've got to embrace spirituality. You've got to help fill this void that Americans feel. We'll talk with Americans on the line, I'm sure, about whether they feel the void that you're describing. You're saying to the Democrats, you've got to bring on the left hand of God. What is that?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm not telling the Democrats that they have to become religious. And I want to make that clear that the organization that we are setting up called the Network of Spiritual Progressives is not just for religious people. It's also for many secular people who don't believe in a higher being or a God or anything, but recognize that there is a spiritual dimension to life and that the absence of that spiritual dimension in our public communal life is devastating to personal life. So it's not like I want to tell people you have to believe in God in order to manipulate the right so that you can win. I don't believe God should be used instrumentally. What I do want to say is open yourself up to that spiritual dimension that many of you have already, but which has never been acknowledged publicly by the Democrats. And let the Democrats at least fight against the religiophobia that has existed in the liberal culture, because in the liberal and progressive culture, there is an assumption that is not very hard to find, and any religious or spiritual person feels it right away, that if you're religious or spiritual in the left, you're on a lower level of psychological or intellectual development, and they may tolerate you for the sake of getting your vote, but they basically think, as Bill Maher says week after week on his television show on HBO, you guys are stupid if you believe in God. And that message has to be reduced, has to be made essentially just as foreign to the left as we once had to make sexism or homophobia. And we have to make religiophobia something that is not acceptable. But simultaneously, we also have to, and this is what I am saying to the Democrats, they need to open up to the spiritual crisis, not become spiritual beings, but to develop a spiritual politics that speaks to that spiritual crisis.
It may not have to be religious, but it's right in your title, the left hand of God.
God.
So what is that left hand of God? Well, what does that mean?
Well, in the Bible, in the Torah, there is this verse that says, your right hand of God, your right hand is filled with power. And traditionally, people have understood the world through two dominant paradigms. One is that we're alone in this world. We're thrown into a world in which we are in constant competition with other people who will dominate us unless we dominate them first. And so the right hand of God is the the force in the universe that makes it possible for us to get power and be able to protect ourselves from these others. The left hand of God comes from a different ontology or a different theory of the nature of being. And that says, no, we're not thrown into the world alone. We're born of mother. We have a mothering other that made it possible for us to survive. Without that love and compassion and generosity, we wouldn't even be here on the earth. And so the left hand of God is that worldview that emphasizes the capacity of human beings to be safe and secure through loving kindness, through generosity, through establishing relationships that are based on fundamentally on compassion and caring for the other. And these two voices, by the way, are in our heads all the time. And consequently, when people hear the voice of God, they usually hear it through the voice, through the framework of either the right hand of God or the left hand of God. Of course, the ultimate truth is that there should be a balance between the two. But in this historical moment, the right hand of God consciousness is way out of whack. It has dominated our perceptions so that we only think that the way to deal with a world of threat is to get domination and power over others. So I'm trying to argue that we need to rebalance this by bringing the left hand of God consciousness much further up into our public life and into our consciousness as individuals.
Rabbi Michael Lerner says, let's do it, in the left hand of God, taking back our country from the religious right. Let's hear from that right hand for a moment. Joining us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Gary Cass, Executive Director of the Center for Reclaiming America for Christ. It's an offshoot of the Coral Ridge Ministries. Gary Cass, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Tom, for having me.
Rabbi Lerner says, respect to people of all kinds of faiths and all perspectives, but he's very tough on the religious right. He says it is in an unholy alliance that may be good on the kind of tough messages of the Bible, but is selling out the messages of love and peace and understanding. What do you say, Gary Cass?
Well, I resonate with some of what I'm hearing from the rabbi. Who isn't for kindness? Who isn't for these kinds of general affirmations of the better angels of our nature and the kinder, gentler world that we all wish we lived in? But frankly, when I listen to him, I'm hearing things that sound very familiar. And I looked at the rabbi's website last night. I just wanted to make sure I understood who I was speaking with today. And, you know, in reality, he's using terms that are general, but he, for instance, is asserting that we need to have a redistribution of wealth. Well, gosh, that sounds very familiar, and apparently he does not seem to have any problem with the government doing it coercively, which I find that rather interesting, rather than my perspective is we should appeal to people's conscience, and hopefully from their heart, they're willing to be compassionate capitalists.
Gerkes, let me ask you about the kind of heart of his bill of indictment against the religious right. Michael Lerner says the right has made itself a tool of the political right, and that it's actually, he understands why people come to the church, because he says there's a spiritual crisis in this country, but that in hitching up with the political right, the religious right is actually working against the core tenets of the Bible, that it's working on behalf of money, on those with money, on behalf of power, those with power, that it's walked away from the kind of Sermon of the Mount message or the message of holding up the weak, the poor, the less fortunate.
Well, and I understand why he might see it that way. I certainly don't. In fact, if he does see it that way, I would imagine that he would support Ronald Reagan, who was an optimistic, hopeful conservative. And what about George Bush, who is a compassionate conservative and has done more in sustaining entitlements and expanding entitlements to Medicaid, prescription drugs, all of these sorts of things. And it just sounds to me like he's got a political agenda, which he's welcome to have, which is left-leaning, and I would say, as a recovering Democrat, a little bit naive. I was raised, I read the cover of his book, and I was a member of Sojourners. I read Sojourners. I listened
to progressive Christian organization. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I read Ron Sider's books. These are my formative years as a new believer. In the early 80s, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger and
yep.
Nuclear Holocaust and Christian Hope, which
right.
basically, and I just come from Europe. I'd spent 3 years traveling Europe behind the Iron Curtain.
What turned you away from that?
Well, and I do have to make a confession. In 1984, I did vote for Mondale, so if you'll absolve me of that. But it's rooted in, I think, and whether the rabbi wants to call this a fearful perspective, I think it's rooted in a reality. And we look back on history, and boy, I was over in Europe. I was in Warsaw, Poland, when the Soviet Union was doing war maneuvers to try to intimidate Poland because of the Solidarity Movement. And we were all literally scared to death. And remember, Ronald Reagan was starting to put the Pershing missiles in Europe, and we thought this was the end. And, you know, then comes Ron Sider using Christian theology to basically affirm a better red than dead type of mentality, and I bought into that. And,
yeah, Gary Kester, we've got that. There's a lot here on the table. I want to get Rabbi Lerner in to respond. Rabbi Lerner, how about it? Gary Kass says, if you want compassionate conservatism and you want hope, look to Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush, and beware, he says, you sound naive, out of touch with reality.
Well, I'm not going to put those kinds of labels back on anybody. I believe that we're all trying in our various ways to build a decent and good world. And I also want to say, and I say this all the time to my friends on the left because I'm part of that, that we have to recognize the fundamental humanity of people on the right and not demean them, and that that's part of a spiritual consciousness, is to affirm the humanity of people with whom we disagree politically. But I also want to say that I've been very disappointed with those conservatives who say, yes, I want to eliminate poverty, but I just don't want government to do it, because there are in this country over 3 million people who are homeless, and there are over 80 million people who identify with the religious right, and that is with the specific religious part of the right. And yet, so you would expect that those people, if they were sincere, that every day you would see a massing of these people coming into the center cities, taking a homeless person into their home, feeding them, giving them shelter, and then the next day another person. You'd only have to have, with those kinds of odds of 80 million versus 80 million religious right and only 3 million people who are homeless, you'd only have to take a homeless person into your house about once every 2 weeks, and we'd have no homeless on our streets. We'd have no people hungry. But the thing is that they claim that they believe that they don't want government to do it, it should be done privately, and then they don't do it. And that's a certain level of deep hypocrisy that makes me wonder what in the world is going on.
Michael Lerner, hold the thought. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me get a call here. Arnice is calling from Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Arnice. You're on the air.
Hi. I've been waiting to hear somebody espouse what the rabbi is saying for a long time. I'm African-American, and I only make that point because I think the Democratic Party has just not even paid attention to what we're saying. This philosophy is espoused through over a pulpit and on Sunday in every African-American church you can go into. We all know that you have to be compassionate. We all know that the Bush administration is not compassionate to people. We all know what the left hand of God looks like. But they're not listening to us at all. We do not support Bush. We do not support his policies. We are Christians. I'm a Christian. I love people. But I can see where our country is headed. And it's not beneficial to people, only people that have money.
So bring on the left hand of God, you say. We hear it, Arnice, and we thank you for your call. Gary Kass, we've only got you for another half minute here. How do you respond to Rabbi Lerner saying, you know, where's the beef?
Well, I won't take offense, but it sounds like he's calling me a hypocrite. But we'll move on past that. There are other larger issues other than economic that drove the religious right into the arms of Republicans. One of them being national security. If you're dead, it doesn't matter whether you're right or left. Republicans seem to do better in those issues.
Gary Kass, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Tom, for having me.
We've got a lot of callers who want to join us here.
Can I just say one little point here? Of all the parts of the Democratic Party, the one that is most sensitive and attuned to this integration is the African American community. And the Democrats were strongest when it was Martin Luther King Jr. and the leadership of the black community that did see that integration between the church and their message and the politics that they were putting forward for the civil rights movement. That moment was a beautiful moment that needs to be recreated, and I would certainly hope that we can bring many of the talents from the African American community back into larger play in leadership of the Democratic Party.
And there's certainly a pretty strong African American turnout for the Democrats. Whether that translates across all color lines, I don't know. Alicia's calling from Concord, Massachusetts. Excuse me.
African Americans vote for the Democrats, but the Democrats don't always take seriously their African American constituents.
I hear it. Alicia, jump in with us. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I'm calling because I agree with many, many points. And I'm waiting for a meeting of the minds from both the left and the right, both in our spiritual communities and in political communities. I grew up in a generation where parents rejected their parents' religion and they rejected their politics. So I came from a very Republican background, a wealthy background, a white background, and I absolutely relate with the African community, the lower income classes who have to struggle. I absolutely relate. Why? Because my spirituality informs me of my compassion, and it makes me feel and want to reach out and want to have equal opportunities. Not equity across all lines, but equal opportunities.
But Alicia, let me ask you, can these minds meet? Michael Lerner says that this union, unholy alliance, he calls it, on the right, is destroying the America we love. Once you say that, is there room for a bridge here?
Well, I don't know if the minds can meet. I do think that the left can play a role in making that happen. I think we've abandoned an entire political community in America by the polarization of the left and the right. I think there's a whole group out there that could be brought together. And I actually think we could even be creating another party. We could be creating more peace. We could be having more faithful people, more faithful, peaceful faith.
Yep.
But I think the left could play a very, very important role in doing that, and that's a starting place. If we're ever going to have the meeting of the minds and the political parties, I doubt it. We wouldn't have political parties otherwise, right?
Alicia, we hear it, and we thank you for it. Michael Lerner, how about it? There's a chasm here that you describe. You're saying this alliance is going in a direction I do not like. So how do you bridge that?
I believe that the first thing we need to do is to affirm what's right in the right. In other words, to understand what is driving people to the right. I don't necessarily mean the hardcore right, where there you really do find some racists and homophobes and xenophobic nationalists. But I mean the many, many millions of people who have moved to the right who don't have to stay there. And there, I want to talk about the kinds of spiritual sources that draw them to the right. For example, your previous guest on representing the right talked about, Lerner believes in redistribution of wealth. Well, guess what? So does the Torah. It calls for a jubilee every 50 years in which all the land gets redistributed back to the original place. He said that I don't have a program for national security, or that the left doesn't have a program for national security. Well, you know what? Neither did Jesus. What Jesus said was, turn the other cheek. And the prophet said, let's beat our swords into plowshares. Now, that seems unrealistic, but from my standpoint, realism is idolatry. Believing in God is believing in the possibility of transformation of that which is to that which ought to be. So often I find that people who articulate, who take right-wing religion and then put it into the hands of political right, end up supporting policies that really don't seem to affirm the existence of God. They believe that we're stuck in militarism and that we're stuck in the wealthy having their wealth and the poor being poor. No, God had a different message for this world, both in the Bible and in the New Testament, both places saying these things could be changed, and it's our task to do tikkun. Tikkun is a Hebrew word. It means to heal, repair, and transform the world.
So I guess the facts are there has been redistribution of wealth, but it's been kind of going upstream.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, turn the other cheek, I don't know about that as a foreign policy in this particular era. It hasn't been a big seller lately.
No, it's not a big seller. But the thing is, the Republicans often critique the liberal programs on the following grounds. They say, you know, we tried it and you didn't succeed with your programs. Well, listen, we've tried 5,000 years of trying to eliminate violence through more violence. Why don't we try 50 years of a strategy of generosity? And this is what I lay out as one of the principles of this covenant, spiritual covenant with Americans, that's part of my book, The Left Hand of God, and that we're going to bring to Congress May 17th to 20th, the spiritual progressives, the network of spiritual progressives. And it says we need a global Marshall Plan. Take 5% of the gross domestic product of the United States and all of the other G8 countries for the next 20 years. Dedicate it to eliminating poverty, homelessness, inadequate education, inadequate health care. That will do more for homeland security than the hundreds of billions we squander each year in a defense budget that only succeeds in generating more and more terrorists in the world because we think that through domination we're going to bring peace.
Let me
call
you, Rabbi,
peace.
If I may. The people have been patiently waiting. Cheryl's calling from Columbia, South Carolina. Cheryl, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hello. I wanted to say something, Rabbi. You're right. I only agree with you in the sense that America is, because I'm one of those people you're talking about, a typical citizen who is looking for definitely God, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus, the Christ, definitely spiritual walk. But it's not something that your group or any group, for that matter, can fulfill. We're looking for the God, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we all hear about. The woman made a comment, and I'm African-American, mm-hmm. and I'm from New York originally, mm-hmm. but I live and work here now. And I wanted to say, this woman said, you know, an African-American community, you know, about the churches and what they're preaching. I think they're doing a fabulous job overall as far as leading people. I didn't grow up in a church.
But Cheryl, are you saying that this general urging towards spirituality is not enough? It's not specific enough? You want a particular God, a particular Savior? Is that what?
When I say a particular God, might I add, I'm not an African-American who was raised in a church, so I don't have like that kind of background. But I mean the God, the Christ, not Buddha, not. And I know people from those backgrounds, being a born and bred New Yorker generationally. I know, I love them. They're my buddies, but I'm very clear and direct with them.
But your target is more specific. Our time is so short, Cheryl. I want to get that to Rabbi Lerner, but thank you very much for your call. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Michael Lerner, what about it? Here's a call. A caller saying, spirituality, small s, not enough for me. I've got a particular program in mind that she wants to hear about.
And one of the things we're doing in the Network of Spiritual Progressives, which, as I say, people can find online at www.spiritualprogressives.org, is that we are saying to people, come into an alliance in which all of your differences are allowed. In the past, interfaith meant everybody had to accept the lowest common denominator mush. We're saying, no, bring your particularity. We don't want Roman Catholics to have to give up their Roman Catholicism, or Buddhists to give up their Buddhism, or progressive evangelicals to give up their progressive evangelicals, or Jews to give up their Judaism, or Muslims to give up their Islam, but rather to bring all of that together, to bring all of that, including atheists who have a spiritual consciousness, and let us together affirm that there is a spiritual dimension to life, that it is central, and that we need to educate our children with that spiritual consciousness, and we need to shape a new bottom line in American society so that instead of our society promoting values that we ultimately don't believe in, instead we need to rebuild the society in ways that are congruent with our highest spiritual vision,
Rabbi, that is love, kindness, and caring. We've got 30 seconds here. Was Bill Clinton your model? He spoke to the spiritual. Do you have a candidate for 08 in the Democratic Party?
Absolutely not. I'm not trying to take any particular person and advance that. And I do believe that the kinds of changes I'm talking about for the Democrats are going to take the kind of change that the women's movement brought to the consciousness of the Democrats, the kind of change that gays and lesbians brought to the consciousness of the Democrats. A fundamental change in worldview that affirms the spiritual and eliminates the religiophobia, the spiritual phobia that has pervaded sections of the liberal and progressive world.
A vote for the spirit from Rabbi Michael Lerner. He's editor of the bi-monthly magazine Tikkun. His new book is The Left Hand of God, Taking Back Our Country from the Religious Right. Rabbi Lerner, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.